Hello, I'm John Rossi, a touring drummer with a love of all things animal. When I'm on the road, I visit as many zoos, aquariums. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on? Hey, what's going on there? Hello? Hello?
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you Rossafari Zoo News. News you can use from the world of zoos and conservation. Every week, we bring you breaking news and analysis from around the globe, featuring the animals you love and the people who care for them. And here's your anchorman, John Rossi.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Rossafari Zoo News, your look at everything going on in the world of zoos, aquariums, conservation, and general animal weirdness. Or at least, that's usually what these episodes are, but today's episode has actually turned into a special edition. I ended up doing a really deep dive on three stories that I heard about, two this week and one that came out, I think, the week before, that are really interconnected, and I had lots of thoughts and feelings about them. And so I wrote up a whole special edition about these things and how they're interconnected and why these things matter. So I hope you take a listen, and I hope it's a little thought-provoking and all of that good stuff. I am going to try to do a more normal, Zoo News for the week as a bonus episode over the next couple of days. But I make no promises because my life is cuckoo banana pants right now. I am very busy with a lot of things. So I will try to do that. And regardless, the stories that you sent me will either be, you know, in the running for next week's Zoo News, or I'll do that bonus episode. But yeah, this just all became too big to not do a full episode on. And the amount of research and the number of people that I spoke to and all that stuff just precluded this from just being a story in a normal Zoo News episode. So I hope y'all enjoy it. Quick reminder, make sure you are following along the social medias at Ross Safari. Make sure you hit subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget that you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month by going to patreon.com/RossSafari. And with all that said, let's get into our special edition here. All right, so this episode is going to be spent talking about scary things that happen at zoos, transparency, and why something called FOIA is something that zoos and zoo fans need to be aware of. We are going to be talking about three zoos, all of which have appeared on the podcast, and all of which I'm a huge fan of. The Fort Worth Zoo, the Akron Zoo, and Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo. And this all starts with the biggest news story of the week, which was the viral video from the Fort Worth Zoo. Now, I'm guessing all of you have seen this by now, but if not, there is a video, mostly on TikTok, of a very scary thing that happened at the Fort Worth Zoo. The video shows two zookeepers out in the gorilla exhibit when suddenly a silverback gorilla named Elmo bursts onto the scene. Both zookeepers remain calm and are clearly well-trained for the experience, as they are both able to get off exhibit without anyone, human or non-human, getting hurt. It's a scary video to watch, and I want to pause here to point out that the keepers really did a great job. They know the animal well, they remembered their training, and they handled it perfectly. I also want to point out that Elmo has a relationship with his keepers, even if it's not supposed to be a free contact one. And by spending time building that relationship, the keepers were as safe as one can be when only feet away from a silverback gorilla. If you or I had ended up out on that exhibit, not, you know, that we ever would, the results most likely would have been very different and significantly worse. So props to the keepers, props to all of the supervisors and people who come up with emergency training and all that stuff. Everyone at the Fort Worth Zoo, did an amazing job with a terrifying situation, and that's something to be proud of. Now, when the video started to go viral, I was actually in bed almost asleep, and suddenly my phone started going off repeatedly with people sending me the link. By the time I woke up the next day, I had been sent it a bunch of times, and the video was a full-on viral sensation with both legitimate news media and, well, not that, covering the story. The comments section on the video blew up, as one would imagine, with the usual debates and people jumping in to attack or defend the zoo based on their preconceived notions. A bunch of super macho guys jumped in, mocking one of the guests for not trying to distract the gorilla by riling it up, something that multiple primate keepers I have spoken to about this incident all agree would have made the situation significantly worse. People online, y'all. But, you know, it's the usual stuff that happens on social media. And, of course, the reaction was made worse by the fact that the hashtags on the video included one in particular. Hashtag coverup. Oof. As soon as I saw the video and read the hashtag, I knew this was going to be a thing. And sure enough, I tried calling multiple numbers for the zoo PR team and was barely able to get through. When I did, all of the mailboxes were full. So, along with stating how incredible the work done by the keepers in that moment was, I also want to point out how incredible the PR and marketing teams at the Fort Worth Zoo, and honestly, all of the incredible zoos and aquariums out there are. Because they know they are always one moment away from something like this happening. Or something like the death of a beloved animal or an unfair lawsuit brought by an organization claiming to be interested in animal rights when really we all know how that goes. They're always one moment away from just something that is a part of zoo life that, you know, happens and then they have to try to control the messaging about it as best they can, largely just because of the anti-zoo crowd. These people really do amazing work, and having close relationships with a lot of people in the PR side of the field, I can tell you that they stress about it a lot, but they keep doing the job because they love the work being done at their facilities. And they love the animals that are cared for there. So, you know, props to all of my lovely PR people, and especially in this case to the team at the Fort Worth Zoo. So, anyway, I started checking the social media pages of the Fort Worth Zoo multiple times a day for a statement. And, well, I'm glad I wasn't holding my breath because the zoo has still not released a statement on social media, which we'll talk about more in a minute here. They did, however, release this statement on their website. And I'm quoting here. On October 20th, 2023, an incident led to two of our zookeepers sharing space with our 34-year-old silverback gorilla. Thankfully, there was no physical contact between keepers and gorilla, and all staff and animals are safe. Every day, the zookeepers shift the gorilla troop into their indoor habitat so that keepers can place the animal's lunch in their outdoor habitat. Due to keeper error, staff entered the yard unaware that the silverback was still in its habitat. The zookeepers work with and train these animals every day, and thanks to their knowledge and expertise, they navigated the situation calmly and were able to exit the yard safely. Understandably, the sharing of this video has been emotional for all keepers involved. And I think that last line in particular is the one that really matters for the next part of our discussion here. Now look, I constantly preach transparency on this podcast because at the end of the day, an honest dialogue where the zoo is able to control the messaging is much better than one in which the story gets out ahead of a zoo or aquarium. The best example of this is, of course, Blackfish. I'm assuming you all know this, but Blackfish is a documentary that sought to show the supposed evils of SeaWorld and their cetacean program, specifically seeking to illustrate the supposed evils of how the orcas at the facility were cared for. The film uses edited footage from other facilities, edited audio from interviews, and other tricks to create, simply put, a false narrative. However, the film managed to do a lot of damage to SeaWorld, which is an incredible group of facilities with amazing husbandry and animal care in general, and also one of the best rescue and rehabilitation programs in the world. It was so easy for people watching the film to believe everything they saw and attribute it all to SeaWorld because they had never seen the areas behind the scenes at SeaWorld before. The lack of transparency, even just about daily life for the animals and staff at the park, led to a lot of people buying into the film when it came out. And honestly, many people still take it as gospel today. Transparency is also incredibly important because almost every guest has a camera in their pockets now. So it's always easy to assume that at any moment, be it newsworthy or benign, it's going to be documented, especially at a zoo where people are constantly taking videos and photos of the animals anyway, just because, like, animals are cool. The fact that it seems like there is only one video of the incident at Fort Worth is actually incredible to me, and I think if there had been more than one, it probably would have gone viral closer to when the incident actually occurred. So yeah, I think transparency is wildly important because of those reasons, and also just because accredited zoos and aquariums are doing amazing work, and the more that is shared with the public, the more the old trust bucket gets filled up so that when something like this does happen, the public is able to understand that it is a rare occurrence, one negative incident amongst a huge host of incredible things that happen at these facilities daily. In my discussions with people about this incident, there have been a lot of people commenting about the perceived lack of transparency from the Fort Worth Zoo about this incident, since no statement was released at the time, but only after the video went viral months after the fact. Well, I'm probably going to shock a lot of you when I say this, but I don't think this counts as any kind of cover-up or lack of transparency on the part of the zoo. In fact, I don't think the zoo owed anyone anything in this instance. At the end of the day, a keeper made a mistake, and two people and one gorilla ended up in an unsafe environment that they handled beautifully, and nothing of consequence happened. The zoo looked into the situation and made sure to communicate what went wrong to the employees involved, but if not for the admittedly shocking-to-see video, there isn't a story here. People make mistakes. You've certainly heard me make mistakes on this podcast. Some of my pronunciation is brutal. I still don't know whether it's Oregon or Oregon or origami or whatever. If I order a drink with my Grubhub deliveries, there is like a 50% chance the drink will be forgotten. And silly examples aside, it happens at zoos and aquariums too. Every zookeeper jokes about waking up in the middle of the night wondering if they forgot to secure a lock. It's fortunate that when incidents happen, it's often with like an ambassador chinchilla, or, you know, a red panda escapes but goes into a tree right next to its exhibit and takes a nap. There is simply no need for facilities to report on these minor incidents unless there are some lasting consequences for the animals or the people involved. And you may be thinking, but John, this situation had a consequence. There's a video. I saw it. Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, everyone was fine. If this video hadn't surfaced, the Fort Worth Zoo would have nothing they need to share with the public. This isn't Harambe Part 2. this is a mistake that was corrected and is being handled in-house, as all mistakes at all companies should be. And it is important to remember, while zoos are public institutions, zookeepers are not celebrities. Thanks to the nature of zoos, they are people who are in front of the public from time to time, sometimes even a lot of the time. But they don't sign up for the job because of that. And for the keepers involved, both the ones on the video and any that are behind the scenes, I am sure that this was the worst day of their career, if not of their entire lives. I mean, think about this. Along with all of the amazing training they received that was running through their heads, I'm sure there was a lot of fear and panic going through their minds as well. I'm sure they were worried about their own health and safety, but were also worried about the health and safety of Elmo, an animal they have a relationship with, and which could be the one to pay the ultimate price for the mistake if things had gone south. This could have been a matter of life and death for both the keepers and the animal in question, but since there was no tragedy to report, I totally understand the zoo not wanting to share the worst moment of those keepers' careers or lives with the public. Even now, I can't help but think how terrible it must be for those women to have had that moment going viral. I still see myself drumming with Emily the Elephant at least once a week when I hop on my various social media accounts. I can't imagine what it's like to log in and see the worst thing that someone ever experienced just blasted time after time. Poof, especially with a bunch of uninformed yahoos being able to comment on it freely. So yeah, this has all been a long-winded way of me, Mr. Johnny Transparency, saying that I actually don't think the zoo did anything wrong by not releasing a statement when this happened. People calling it a cover-up, including the original poster of the video, seem to think there is something to cover up. But there were no injuries, nothing happened to the animal, and at the end of the day, the keepers did exactly what they are trained to do when something goes sideways, and that's all that happened. The Fort Worth Zoo didn't owe anyone anything from this incident until the video dropped and went viral. And even then, I don't feel like they owed us anything as much as they just needed to handle the situation that was created for them. Well, we'll come back to this in a bit. But that brings us to another incident that happened this week at the Akron Zoo. I'm guessing most of you didn't hear about this situation, and honestly, if it hadn't been sent to me a few times, I wouldn't have known about it myself. But we're going to talk about it and tie it into the Fort Worth situation. The Akron Zoo released a statement this week, which I'll read to you here. Quote, on March 3rd, 2024, an incident occurred in the Komodo Kingdom Employee Service Area that resulted in a staff member being injured. Our initial investigation establishes that most injuries came as the result of bite wounds inflicted by one of the Komodo dragons. Our chief concern is for our valued team member, who is currently recovering at home. We will update as more information is available, consistent with privacy requirements and federal law. We also want to honor our employees' privacy, so we are providing no other details at this time. A Komodo dragon not involved in the staff member's injuries was also injured and is stable and recovering. The zoo is reviewing how this event occurred, and we are working with OSHA. Safety is, and will remain, the utmost priority for our staff, visitors, and animals. And as a quick side note here, Komodo dragons are not a protected contact species, though each facility is able to determine whether free contact or protected contact is better for their individual animals. But like, for instance, you've heard about the free contact work that is done at Reptiland with their Komodo dragons, so the fact that a Komodo and a keeper were in the same space is not necessarily surprising or a problem. Unlike, say, a silverback and some keepers being together. I think a lot of people are surprised by the whole not protected rule for Komodos. But anyway, one of the people who sent me the Akron statement mentioned that it wasn't on any of their social media platforms and again dropped that scary phrase, cover up. But this couldn't be further from the truth. This happened in a behind-the-scenes area, so I assume there is no footage of the incident that could end up on TikTok. The zoo could arguably have never told a soul about what happened, and it's possible no one would have ever found out. But instead, they put out a statement. It's there, on their webpage, one of the first things you see if you go to their homepage. Honesty and transparency. And that's all we can ask for, right? And I've actually heard a couple people say they think the zoo should release more details. Why? At what point does it just become rubbernecking because of our own curiosity versus actually caring about the news story in question? We know what we need to know. A keeper was injured, a Komodo dragon was injured, and the injuries were caused by another Komodo dragon. That's enough. The keeper in question does not need to relive their worst moment time and again, just because the public might want to know more. I am 100% on board with this level of transparency from zoos and aquariums. Also, anytime a zoo experiences something like this, they have to report it to both OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the AZA. Both of these organizations look into the situation, and until that is complete, any public discussion could only hamper those inquiries. If the Akron Zoo, or the Fort Worth Zoo, or any facility was trying to stop those inquiries from happening, then yes, I think it would be fair to call it a cover-up. But not writing every salacious and juicy detail of an incident into a press release? That's not a cover-up. That's just a smart way of protecting both the institution and the individuals involved from unwarranted and ill-informed attacks and opinions. Now, in both the Fort Worth Zoo and the Akron Zoo situations, something was pointed out to me repeatedly. Both zoos have completely eschewed making statements on social media about what happened. And a lot of the people who have pointed this out to me have said that decision doesn't sit well with them, because social media is where a lot of us go to get our information nowadays. But I have to tell you, I'm okay with it. I have long documented on this podcast and beyond the fact that I think social media is incredibly problematic for a variety of reasons. For starters, everyone feels like they have an equal voice and that their opinions are as valid as everyone else's on those sites, regardless of their level of expertise or, honestly, even just basic competence. A lot of the anti-zoo crowd is happy to follow zoos on the social media sites in order to attack comment sections and share anything they can distort into supporting their own silly beliefs. In the last few years in particular, people have become online tough guys, using the anonymity of an app to attack without fear of reprisal or really any consequence at all. And it all becomes one big swirling echo chamber, and it's just gross. And this goes far beyond the zoo world, too. As a fan of Marvel and Star Wars and other nerd culture things, it's amazing the toxic stuff I see spewed by and in the comments sections of these fan pages on these sites. I don't even follow any of them because of how gross it gets, but the algorithm makes sure I see enough to know that the comments sections of social media in general are just filled with the worst people. I mean, heck, we've had a few times where I share stuff on the podcast or in my stories about zoos and aquariums that are getting posts attacked by these numbskulls, and a lot of us charge in and add positive comments and work to drown out the idiots altogether. It's honestly something I'm really proud of the Raw Safari community for doing. But yeah, while I do appreciate all of the things zoos and aquariums do share on social media and all of the transparency that can be found there, I'm also perfectly okay with zoos sharing their press releases on their websites and not blasting everything they put out into the ridiculous social media sphere, especially the negative stuff. I've actually been monitoring both zoos' social media posts this week, and a shockingly small number of people have commented on the various Fort Worth Zoo posts about the gorilla situation. And honestly, I haven't seen a single comment on any of the Akron posts about the Komodo situation. And honestly, I love to see that. Now, of course, the original video about the Fort Worth Zoo on TikTok has 7.3 million likes and has been shared over 167,000 times already. But even that video hasn't really gotten nearly the same traction on other social media sites. And look, at the end of the day, as long as zoos are being transparent when necessary, I don't really care if they don't put their worst moments out into the social media sphere. Posting a press release gets the job done. It's not necessary to allow at BobbyR36752 to comment on it, just to allow Mark Zuckerberg to get a little richer. Social media allows for the worst instincts of people to take over, and the ease of sharing, commenting, stitching, etc., makes it so that only the worst stuff may get blasted to the world, which just doesn't seem fair to these facilities or to the zoo community at large. We all have enough stupid anti-zoo rhetoric to contend with without every story like this being shared by each facility, especially because it would just be easy to distort, easy to abuse. Look at what social media has done to the intellect of the general public as a whole. There are more flat earthers now than ever before, at least since, you know, that was the norm. Anti-vaccine conspiracy theories have spread so fast that we suddenly have people dying needlessly from COVID, suddenly having measles and polio outbreaks in the United States again. This is crazy. And the idea of not putting something that can add flames to the anti-zoo movement onto social media channels seems, to me, to be more about stopping the abuse of the information provided than about hiding the information. And just to clarify my stance here, I know I said I have no problem with Fort Worth not sharing the info, but that I'm glad that Akron did share their story. And I want to explain briefly that, you know, I feel that way because in the Fort Worth case, no one was injured. And at Akron, there were injuries to both a keeper and an animal. So I do think they are different situations, and I'm glad that both zoos handled them as they did. Okay, so that was a lot, but we're not done yet. There is another angle to this entire discussion that needs to be addressed, and that angle is the FOIA angle. Now, I know the zoo world has too many acronyms, but FOIA isn't actually from the zoo world. FOIA stands for the Freedom of Information Act. Get ready for a quick civics lesson. Welcome to Civic Safari. FOIA is an act that was signed into law in 1966 and went into effect in 1967 that provides the public the right to request access to records from any federal agency. Federal agencies are required to disclose any information requested under FOIA unless it falls under one of 9 exemptions provided. Those exemptions combine to protect interests such as personal privacy, national security, and law enforcement. Over the years, FOIA has evolved to mandate that federal agencies post certain types of information online even when it's not requested by the public. The original idea for the law came about back in the 1950s in reaction to the government trying to be more secretive during the start of the Cold War. The initial FOIA bill was a good start, but then when Watergate shook the Nixon presidency, the government expanded the act, with President Reagan making it even more expansive in 1982. All of these things made FOIA a powerful tool for individuals to use, but it really took off in 1996 when President Bill Clinton signed the Electronic Freedom of Information Act amendments, which made FOIA disclosures available electronically. Then, in 2016, President Obama signed the FOIA Improvement Act, giving the law its broadest reach yet and codifying the idea that all federal agencies should work under a presumption of disclosure, meaning that when FOIA records are requested, the agency should start off by assuming they must disclose the information and then only not do so if certain exemptions are met. With these last two improvements to the law, it became a lot more commonplace to start seeing journalists and everyday citizens, including activists, using FOIA to get information about a wide variety of things that were not disclosed by the government previously. A lot of these disclosures were released online, and a lot of the scandals that have come out in recent years were uncovered because of these FOIA requests. And so I told you all of that to tell you this. FOIA is something that directly relates to zoos and aquariums. There's a couple reasons for this. To start with, many of the animals in these facilities are subject to USDA inspections, and the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, is involved if there is an issue with an animal. OSHA, which I mentioned earlier, is also a federal agency, so anytime an employee is injured, OSHA will get involved. And when OSHA and or the USDA are involved, that means federal agencies are involved, meaning that FOIA requests can be made and information can come out. And I'm going to share a third Zoo News story from this week that deals with that directly. Last year, I shared the story of two Goldie's monkeys that passed away unexpectedly at Beardsley Zoo in Connecticut. The monkeys died after catching and eating a rat, which had consumed rat poison that was used at the zoo. The rat poison was not believed to be toxic to other animals, and the zoo had been using it with no issue for quite some time, but the monkeys died from it, and the zoo stopped using the rodenticide immediately. They were very transparent with the public, sharing what happened and sharing what steps they were taking to ensure nothing like that would ever happen again. There were interviews with the president of the zoo, Greg Dancho. There were press releases. There were social media posts. They did all the things. And I genuinely believe they handled it very well. But the story hit the news again recently because someone decided to do a FOIA request for information related to the deaths of the monkeys from the USDA and were granted the documents on the case. It turns out there was just a little bit more to the story than what was said publicly at the time it happened. So the zoo does not have a full-time veterinarian on staff, which is not uncommon for zoos of that size. The zoo attempted to reach their vet, but were unable to do so for a few hours after the incident occurred. When they did get a hold of the vet, he came and checked out the monkeys, and no treatment was recommended because they appeared to be perfectly normal and healthy. Now, sadly, the monkeys died a few days later due to rodenticide toxicosis. And like I said, the zoo was super transparent about, you know, their deaths and the cause of death. But they didn't mention the veterinary situation and the fact that they had been told not to do anything. But now that came out through the FOIA requests. And so suddenly the story is back in the news, and the zoo suddenly found itself in the weird position of having to comment on a story they had been very transparent about already. I certainly don't think the zoo had any obligation to go through every detail of what happened. They announced the death, announced the cause, and were done with it. But now, close to a year later, they find themselves rehashing the story and seeing people claim it was a cover-up, that ridiculous phrase again, simply because not every minor detail was shared in the wildly transparent press the zoo did about the incident. And I can't help but feel like the fact that this worked out this way in Connecticut will encourage people in the anti-zoo movement to start using FOIA to request as much information as possible about incidents that happen at zoos and to splash that information around the internet in the worst light possible. So, to all you lovely PR people that are listening to this episode, I want to encourage you to take heed and realize that FOIA requests might start to be more of a thing moving forward. If so, it becomes very important for zoos and aquariums to consider how they want to handle that.
We saw this week how something hitting the press without being discussed beforehand can blow up, can go viral, and can create the impression of a cover-up for all those people who are looking for any reason to be mad at zoological facilities. Now, whether that impacts what information you share with the public will be up to you and your facilities, but this is a threat that is out there now. However, there is a silver lining here. In the three incidents I mentioned, one hasn't really gotten any press, one got some local press in Connecticut, and yeah, one went viral. But in such a way that it doesn't really seem to have impacted the Fort Worth Zoo at all. It's spring break in Texas right now, and most of the social media comments I've seen on the zoo's pages are about how packed the zoo is, not about the TikTok video. Maybe the real lesson from all of this is to let the very online crowd be very online, and to handle things on your own website or in the legitimate press, not worrying about the trolls and haters that live online. And really, isn't that a lesson for all of us, not just zoo and aquarium professionals? After all, as a wise philosopher once said, the haters gonna hate. Well, I really hope y'all enjoyed this deep dive. It was something that was heavy on my mind and heart this week, and I didn't expect it to go so long, but hey, it did. I will, like I said, try to get a regular Zoo News episode out in the next few days, if time permits, no promises. And all of you who contributed stories this week will hear your names in that episode or in next week's Zoo News, because I do appreciate y'all, and I have a huge list, and y'all are awesome. I do want to take a moment to thank my Red Panda level patrons, Dr. Laura Schenk, Dr. Stephen Williamson, Barbara Bennett, and Jenny Owens. And I just want to take an extra second to remind y'all that even though we did talk about a lot of stuff that went down at the Fort Worth Zoo, Beardsley Zoo, and the Akron Zoo in this episode, they are all incredible zoological facilities. I am proud to have shared them on my podcast. I am hopeful that I will get to share more of the stories at all of them with y'all in the future. And I know that they are just amazing places, and I'm proud of my association with all of them. So I just wanted to share that with you all, as well as to share this quick reminder that the words Newsy Credits Backwards are Steiderk Yuswen.
The Ross Safari Podcast is produced, hosted, and engineered by John Rossi. Editing and fact-checking by John and Dr. Zoe Rossi. Our theme song is Sevens by Nathan Burke, performed by Nathan and John. Interrupting John theme and additional voices by Taylor Isaac Gray. You can reach John directly on Instagram and Facebook at Ross Safari, or by email at rossafaripod@gmail.com. Ross Safari is part of the Daydreamer Media Network. Now, stop listening to me and go visit a zoo.